Welcome to the Nation's Blind Podcast, coming to you from the headquarters of the National Federation of the Blind in Baltimore.
Hello, and welcome to the Nation's Blind Podcast. I'm Melissa Riccobono, and I am here with my co-host,
Anil Lewis.
Hey,
and
Anil.
It's convention time.
It is convention time.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it is.
Man, I'm already tired.
Oh, that's not a good thing.
Yeah,
you better get some sleep between now and then.
I think a lot of people don't recognize how much energy it takes to get this thing rolling, man.
Right.
The national office is a buzz. The excitement and the energy in the air is just palpable. It's just an awesome feeling. But, man, I'm tired already.
Well,
I'm going to need to go to convention to rest.
Wow.
No.
Then what are you going to do after? Because then you got UCLA.
Well,
we won't talk about that. Oh my goodness.
That'll be another podcast.
Yeah,
look what you've done.
Sorry.
I'm going to go take a nap. Yes, it is convention. July 10th through the 15th in Orlando.
And it's late this year, so you'll actually have to figure out what to do over the 4th of July weekend, which is very interesting.
Thousands of federationists learning how to barbecue now, because we'll be at home on the 4th of July.
That's right. Or going to picnics or all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
We saw a big thing of fireworks in Costco the other day that Austin was lobbying that we
purchase,
and we have not. President Riccobono said, why didn't you purchase those?
Oh,
I don't know.
That's not your job. That's
the
dad's
job. If you'd
like
to, we can certainly go back. If you want us to do it, we'll be happy to do it for you.
Yeah. That's a rite of passage,
We'll have to see what we're going to do. I wouldn't be opposed, certainly, if we can figure out a nice, safe place to launch them and all that type of thing. So
there you go. After these thousands of blind people get their exposure to barbecues and picnics, et cetera, then we're going to be packing up our bags and flying to sunny Orlando, Florida at the Rosen Shingle Creek Hotel to experience the Blind Family Reunion. Big, huge gathering of blind people there. We're going to be taking it over the convention space in a real way, and we'll call it Federation South.
And there's just nothing like that just going in to the convention, having that energy, hearing all those canes tapping, I think that's one of my very favorite parts of convention. Just all the people walking around, living the lives they want.
Yeah, especially the kids.
Oh, I love seeing little kids with canes.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right.
It's powerful.
Yeah, extremely powerful.
But for those of you who don't know, I jest when I say I'm going to convention to rest, because it is from sun up to sun up, not even to sundown. It's activity, activity, activity. From our division meetings, our committee meetings, the different special events, and the plenary sessions, and the banquet speech. I know that President Riccobono is working on that now. I'm looking forward to another one.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And we do have the agenda already posted on nfb.org/convention. You can go on and look at the agenda. That's posted in all different formats. It's also on NFB Newsline. There's all sorts of different places and ways you can get the agenda. And I would like to encourage everybody, please feel free to come up to the presidential suite. It's open. The hours that it's open are in the agenda. I've been busy getting people to staff the suite as greeters and to be on the phones in the suite. And we're ready for you. We'll have a few little snacks up there and drinks. And it's really a chance to come on up. I can't promise that President Riccobono and I will be there all the time, but we will certainly be there as much as we can. We're bringing Oriana with us this year, so I'm sure she'll be there hanging out too. She gives good hugs, so if you really want an Oriana hug, she might be willing to give one to you. and please come up. You're invited. I spoke with someone a couple years ago and said, come to the presidential suite. And they said, I've never been invited before. And I said, the invitation's
everyone's
open.
Invited.
Everyone's
it's right there
invited.
In the agenda. Welcome
That's
to
right.
the presidential suite.
Please come on up. And we would love to meet you and have you up in the suite. And it would be our pleasure to get to know you. And please also, if there's other people from your state that are first timers or are newer to the Federation, bring them along. Let them come up and experience the suite. It's a great place to meet other people. And of course, if President Riccobono and I are there, we'll be happy to say hello.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to it. That's one of the many, many, many things that people will be able to do at the convention. And we could spend, a month worth of podcasts talking about the different activities. We have a few that we've selected to highlight in this particular podcast. One, because it's important, because it's the core to what we do. And two, the second one, I guess I'm taking them in reverse order. The first one we'll transition to is really one that's grown over these many years. The true purpose of the Federation is to allow blind people to live the lives we want. A major component of that is becoming gainfully employed in a career of your choice, not just a job, but just doing something that you really love. The job fair at the National Convention started as a fairly small event, but over these past years, it has really grown into something phenomenal. I think we're having 35-plus employers in that wow. space and so many different blind people. And a lot of the work that goes into coordinating this is at the hands of Mr. Dick Davis, used to be with Blind Incorporated, and he's been working diligently to coordinate our employment fair. And I had the opportunity to really talk to him about that whole employment career fair is what we should call it in the coming years. So if you want, we can take a listen.
That sounds great. You're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast.
All right, you're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast. This is Anil Lewis, and I have the honor of interviewing Dick Davis, who is currently the chair of the National Federation of the Blind Employment Committee and formerly the associate director of one of our NFB training centers, Blindness Learning in New Dimensions, that's Blind Incorporated in Minnesota. Dick, thank you for joining us for the podcast.
Well, I'm glad to be here, Anil. This is great.
Yeah, well, I wish you were here, as you guys who are intuitive listening.
I bet it'd be warmer than Minnesota.
There you go. This is true. But we have Dick on the phone here, so we're hoping that the quality is good enough for you to really appreciate what we're talking about. Dick and I, because he's the chair of the Employment Committee, thought it would be helpful for us to talk about the employment of blind individuals. And Dick has a significant amount of experience in that particular area. You want to share a little bit with our listeners?
Oh, sure. Actually, I've helped blind people get jobs for 40 years now. And I started working for Dr. Jernigan. I was a cane travel instructor and then a rehabilitation teacher. But when I was a rehabilitation teacher, I got hooked on, and that's the only way I can describe it, hooked on helping blind people get jobs. Because, you know, there's nothing better than that. I mean, you can do the whole rehabilitation process, you know, one way and, you know, inside and out. But, you know, until that person gets a job, until you see what kind of impact that has on their life, you know, that income and that self-esteem and so on and so forth. There's nothing like that. So I was hooked, and I stayed doing that. I ultimately went to the New Mexico Commission for the Blind, where I was an area rehab supervisor and ran the Orientation Center for the Blind there for 6 years. And then I became assistant commissioner, or we might consider it director of Minnesota State Services for the Blind for 7 years.
I wasn't aware of that.
Sorry?
I wasn't aware that you were the director of the...
I was. And then I became... I started out as assistant director for employment programs at Blind Incorporated in 2000. And then when Dan Wenzel came on, he promoted me to associate director. And I'm also, and you may not know this too, I'm also the only sighted person to ever be the director of an NFB training center, because before Dan came in and after Sean Mayo left, I ran the place for 4 months, and I was glad to turn it over to Dan, but at that point, I knew so much about the operation, you know, he just decided that we were more co-equals, and so he made me associate director. That's what I did right up through December 31st.
I love
I do project work.
I love the fact that you were saying to you the only sighted individual that shows everyone. We don't discriminate. We also create opportunities for sighted people to advance our organization as well, but they have to be blind at heart like you are. One of the things that you said that I think is very important in the early part of your statement, you said you enjoy helping blind people find jobs. I think that so many times in the industry, rehabilitation professionals think it's their responsibility to find the job for the blind person. And it really is more important to help that blind person acquire the skills and abilities to find their own job. So I really want to build on what you were talking about with your experience with cane travel and rehab teaching to really get you to give some feedback on how important it is to develop those fundamental skills.
Well, it really is important. I mean, the fact is, there is, I tell people, in a very real sense, there's no charity in the employment market at all for anybody, and especially for blind people. If you want to be successful as a blind person in the employment market, you've got to have skills that are competitive with those of sighted people. You know, and you know, nobody would go, for instance, into a store and, you know, and you know, buy a sweater that had holes in it or whatever, you know, but
a blind person made it. Oh, it's okay.
They have holes in their training and they somehow think people are going to overlook that. So it's really, really important, either through our NFB training centers or through some good structured discovery centers on the state level or even private level to get those skills. I mean, to get in there and be able to travel every place that you need to go on the job, and be able to do that on your own, not having somebody tell you where to turn and everything. And you know, you need to have Braille skills, because 90% of all employed blind people are Braille users, and yet the Braille literacy rate in the United States is only about 10%, which is just terrible. I mean, we live in a high communication environment. And people need to have those Braille skills to get jobs. And obviously, you know, if 90% of employed blind people have Braille, there's a lesson there. Learn Braille. And that's not to say that low vision people can't make it, you know, but it's just that they have to have really competitive skills, you know, and the same thing with home skills and with, you know, other kinds of personal skills. The kinds of things that we teach at the NFB Center to prepare people. What we do is we prepare people not for a specific job, and that's one thing you alluded to, Anil. You know, if rehab places a person in a specific job and only gives them the training that they need for the specific job, what happens when that job changes, or what happens when the person has an opportunity to advance?
Exactly.
So they say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I have to go back and get some more training before I qualify." No, that's not going to happen. This is a fast-paced world. You've got to be able to change direction, you know, rapidly and adapt to circumstances. And that's another thing that we teach in our NFB training centers via the structured discovery method. And that is, you know, we start out, and of course, we're giving people a lot of support and so on and so forth, but as things go along, we're going to ask people questions like, how would you get to this place, or how would you do this, or make up a plan for your shop project, or let's discuss this, and then you figure out the way. And that builds problem-solving skills, that builds adaptability, that builds creativity, and so on and so forth. And actually, Anil, one of the things I tend to believe is that I think a person who's gone through adjustment to blindness training and has completed it successfully is actually more adaptable, more creative, more able to adjust to circumstances, quicker to solve problems, and so on and so forth, than a sighted person. So, you know,
I agree.
Somebody says, you know, blind people are just second-class sighted people, I say, no, you know, sighted people are second-class blind people, you know. A lot of people don't see it that way.
I love that.
But if you think about it, you'll see that it's true. Who are the most adaptable people in the world? They're probably blind people.
Yeah, agreed. I agree with that. That's an interesting insight. There are two things. You know, I did a lot of job placement back in the day as well, not as extensive a history as you, but the two things I always like to focus on when I talk to individuals that I'm working with is, one, get them to adopt a mentality and recognize that it's a full-time job to get a full-time job. So that really focuses them on really putting the time in and developing that work ethic even prior to becoming employed. And then the other piece that I think is very important is exactly what you touched on. You have to develop those fundamental skills in a real way to allow you to not only be competitive in that space, but probably perform at a little higher rate of productivity than most, in some instances, just to be considered equal. So we're creating an environment for blind individuals to capitalize on the strength of the Federation. Our national convention is coming up in July 10th through the 15th in Orlando at the Rose and Shingle Creek. And we have an awesome, awesome job fair that you guys are coordinating through the Employment Committee. You want to tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, we've had really good success. This will be our fourth year for the job fair, which we're, putting on. And that's going to be on Sunday morning. Whoa. that's going to be on Tuesday morning, the 11th of July from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. And mm-hmm. we fully intend to have over 30 employers in attendance.
Wow.
About 300 plus blind people.
Wow.
We moved the job fair to a different day this year because we thought we might attract more people. There's a lot of people who will still be coming in on Monday the 10th, so we're hoping to get them there. And to prepare them for that, we will have a job seeker seminar that's going to be from 12:30 to 4 o'clock the day before, on the 10th.
Excellent.
In the afternoon. And we're even looking at a dinner to teach people, table skills and other skills to be used, in an interview situation. But we haven't nailed that down yet, so I can't promise that. But we'll have that, and then later on in the week, we're going to have a upward mobility seminar for young and older blind people, and we'll have our employment committee meeting on Friday, at the end of the week, and we've got a few other things, in the books. But the employment committee designed the job fair several years ago, mm-hmm. at the insistence and interest of one of our members who came up with the idea. And I didn't know whether it would work or not, but it worked out great. We have 12 employers in our first year, and about 200 blind people, and we crowded the room out, and so we've expanded since that time. That's why we intend to have that number. And some of them are really big employers, like Wells Fargo, like
Excellent.
HIMS, like some of the other Oracle, some of the other ones that we have who are also NFB convention sponsors too.
Beautiful. I love the way you mentioned. Was that Suzanne Turner in Ohio that was kind of?
That was Suzanne, yeah.
I love the way you mentioned that was kind of the catalyst, because people don't understand that the members drive our organizational priorities. And the fact that we recognize some things that are necessary for blind people to be fully participating members of society, and we act on them and engage. And now this idea has turned into this wonderful event. Can you tell a little bit about what's going on in the job seminar, the job seekers seminar?
Yeah. Essentially, we're putting together a really good agenda right now. We're going to have one gentleman, if we can get that together, who is going to come in, who is from an employer organization that represents 900 Fortune 1500 employers that is wants to partner
wow.
with us to
wow.
help our members, blind people in general, to get jobs with their 900 members, which I think is really terrific.
Outstanding.
He's going to be talking about employer expectations. We've got people from Wells Fargo who are coming in. They're going to talk about careers in the financial services industry. We've got Lady Christy Lynch. Some of the people may know her. She's an NFB member from New Jersey. She's going to be coming in, and she's going to be talking about her work in the banking industry. We're going to have presentations on, a whole bunch of things,
possibly,
how to negotiate for salaries and so on and so forth,
Excellent.
And how to interview and how to be, successful in that. We have a lot of what we could refer to as oldies but goodies, but things that we need to say year after year too. So
that's excellent.
So that's our goal, is to give people those kinds of skills and really get them fired up.
It's
one of the things about employers pay a lot of attention to body language, and if you come into a job interview and you're a whipped puppy, they know that. So on the other hand, if you come into a job interview and you think, wow, this is the greatest opportunity in my life, I'm going to take advantage of this and so
mm-hmm.
on and so forth, they like that. Employers like enthusiasm.
Absolutely.
They like loyalty. They interview a lot of people, so they can tell a difference.
Well, it sounds like a comprehensive opportunity. Hopefully our members and the employers will take advantage of it. I really appreciate you joining us. Do you have any closing thoughts you want to offer to our listeners?
Sure. I think, really, I talk with a lot of employers, Anil, and I know that, the unemployment and underemployment of blind people is still a big problem. But for example, one of the employers I talked to recently said, oh, we like hiring blind people. They don't require as many reasonable accommodations as other people. Or, yeah, we really are interested in hiring blind people. Now, 2 years ago, FedEx, which is a major corporation, called me up, and they wanted to hire some students out of Blind Incorporated, and now we've had six, potentially seven blind people go to work for them. And so once they, and these are unloading trucks, these are running scanners, you know, the people are doing these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So I think it's very, very important for people to know that we are right on the edge of better or even full employment of blind people. I say full employment because I think with the older generation retiring, employers want to hire. They're looking at new sources. Diversity is very, very important. Diversity is, in my opinion, even more important than the Americans with Disabilities Act at getting blind people jobs. And they are looking at blind people as something different, something interesting, something creative, you know, which is what blind people are. That's what we've been preaching in the National Federation of the Blind for years and years and years, and now we're seeing it come into fruition. And so if you're a blind person out there, you need to get your skills. You know, you need to get prepared for this environment that is going to be more open-armed, as in, come on in, you know, rather than keep out. And if you're a rehab agency, you know, you're going to have to buckle down and make sure that these guys get some good skills so that they can get employment, because they are going to get jobs. I can promise you that.
Exactly, and be enthusiastic about it. I love the insight that you said about the strive for diversity is much more of an incentive than the ADA. And I agree with you, because the ADA is more of the legal requirement, which is not going to really encourage employers to really go beyond. But if they're really striving to create a diverse work environment full of productive individuals, then that's the motivation to get everybody vested in and everybody's success. I really do appreciate you joining us, Dick. We've been talking with Dick Davis, the chair of the National Federation of the Blind Employment Committee, and you're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast. Yeah, I really enjoyed talking to Dick about the job fair. I think it's important for people to understand that, again, as the National Federation of the Blind, we are an organization that is really vested in the success of blind people and the tough love, you know, the feedback that we give to blind individuals to make sure that they're actually career ready is so important, because society makes blind people think that because they can do something fundamental or rudimentary that they should be in some, you know, higher job skill, and they have entry-level skills at best. So it's important for us to, one, reality check the blind person, and two, create those opportunities for employment that otherwise wouldn't exist, because we fight the discrimination that they face. We work to make sure access technology is available so they have access in the workspace. But none of this would be possible without the collective action of the blind.
That's true. Yeah. Also, the education that we do for the employers that come to the job fair. I mean, these are employers that are anxious, are eager to hire people of all types. And so it's wonderful for them. I think the incidental learning that they must get from just being in our space where blindness is normal, that has to be huge for them. I hope it's really a game changer for them. I really hope that all the employers walk away thinking, yeah, there's no reason I couldn't hire a blind person or two. And, oh, wow, these people really have it together, and they run such a great event. So I think that's important as well.
And it forces them to evaluate their whole application and recruitment process.
Definitely.
To participate in our job fair, they have to make sure that the materials are accessible. Yeah. And then by doing that, like you said, they realize this is not as burdensome as I thought it was.
Right.
And then they tap into this tremendous pool of applicants that otherwise they wouldn't be able to utilize.
That's right. And the Federation's got talent.
Yeah. That is the truth. And that's one of the things that happens at convention too. Lots of talent is displayed at the convention. There's a talent show, as a matter of fact, that
there is. There's karaoke night, too, there for Blind Incorporated. A little plug for my brother-in-law who directs that.
A little
center.
Shameless plug. That's
but there's
right.
A Louisiana play.
Yeah, that's true. Lots of talent
and
there.
There's CCB night where all the talented staff
go and
show everyone what it's like to be at the CCB. I can't leave any of the centers out.
Good for you. Good for you. You're very political.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, that's great for a first lady to be you know, aware of the politics of it all. You're right. And that is fun. A lot of the fun that takes place at convention happens organically because people are interacting with people, but we definitely have a committee that plans a lot of that.
We do, and this year we have a host committee that is, what is it, four states? Washington, D.C., Hawaii, Tennessee, and Arizona, and then the National Association of Blind Students. So I guess it's five, four affiliates and one division. And I know Chris, in the news, he got to interview Sean Calloway all about what's going on. Sean is, of course, the president of the National Federation of the Blind of the District of Columbia.
And also a national board member.
He is, and he's the chairman, one of the chairmen, of this state affiliate convention committee. And so for In the News, Chris and Sean talk all about the things that you can do at the convention to help you get into the convention spirit and to help you feel welcome and a part of the convention in Orlando.
Well, let's take a listen.
You're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast, and I am Chris Danielson doing the news, and I get to do an interview this time. So instead of just yakking at Anil or Melissa and telling them the news, I get to do an interview. And I have with me Mr. Sean Calloway. How are you doing today, Sean?
Doing good, my friend. Doing good. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Now, Sean, you are the president of the National Federation of the Blind of the District of Columbia.
Yes.
And you also have a very important role with regard to convention, which is the theme of our podcast this month. So tell us about your role with the planning of the convention.
Well, I've been charged to be the chairman of the host committee, along with the Arizona affiliate, which is headed by Mr. Donald Porterfield, the Hawaii affiliate, which is headed by Ms. Nani Fife, and the Tennessee affiliate, which will be headed by First Vice President Terry Smith. Also, we have a special guest committee host, Ms. Catherine Wester, who is the president of the National Association of Blind Students. So we are charged to just being hospitable and making sure that the federations that come in town have a good time at this year's 2017 National Convention.
Sounds great. Sounds like you got a great group of people working on
this. Outstanding. Yes, I do.
And so what kinds of things do you guys have planned to make it a great convention for everybody who's attending?
Well, in addition to all the great exhibitors and the division meetings and all the seminars that we're going to have, we're planning a few good events for our federationers that are coming in. First of all, we're having a past and present affiliate presidents social networking event, which will basically bring the current affiliate presidents and the past affiliate presidents together to, you know, socialize and network and get to learn from one another. I believe that we should learn from our history, and a lot of our past affiliate presidents has so much knowledge and history to give. And oftentimes, Chris, when I come to these conventions, I'm ripping and running. I don't have time to really sit and talk to anyone. So the opportunity to get the chance to talk to Diane McGeorge or Joanne Wilson or Dr. Fred Schroeder, these individuals who help shape and mold what the Federation is today, is a great opportunity to network and just, break bread with these individuals. So it will bring the current and past presidents together and in a social environment. So I'm looking forward to that event as well.
That will be terrific. I know a lot of people, feel like, and you should never feel this way in the Federation, but I know, especially if you're a newer leader, sometimes you feel like, oh gosh, Dr. Schroeder and Dr. Wilson, they're all so busy. Mm-hmm. I can't approach those people and talk to them about my problems. So I think that's a really brilliant idea to have a social event.
Yeah.
So what else?
Yeah, we have a luau. Now, Chris, I don't know in my lifetime if we're ever going to have a national convention in Hawaii. But if we don't, we're bringing Hawaii to the national convention in Florida.
So hey, that's a great plan.
Nani has done a great job in planning this luau. We're going to just have the Hawaii theme all over this luau. We're going to have leis and coconuts, bras and straw skirts, and we're just going to have Hawaii all over, and we're going to have hula dancing and limbo contest, and so it's just going to be a wonderful event, and I want everyone who's coming to this event to have your Hawaiian attire on. A matter of fact, the king and queen of this event is, of the luau, is President Rick Abono and his lovely wife, Melissa. So please come out to the luau, ladies and gentlemen, and get a little taste of Hawaii.
Oh, excellent. Because you're probably right. We as much as we want to, we may not ever have a convention in Hawaii.
No.
And if we did, it would be kind of hard to get people to stay in the sessions, I think. So,
right.
So this is a good plan to bring a little bit of and I know Nani's doing a great job. She's a great leader, and she's probably got it all set for us to party
at the luau. No question. And lastly, Chris, we're going to be hosting in the hospitality rooms. Each affiliate, which is the District of Columbia, Tennessee, Arizona, and Hawaii, will host a day within that hospitality room. And the great part about this particular hospitality event is that when you come into the hospitality room, you get an opportunity to register to win a gift basket from that affiliate.
Oh.
So, for example, if you come into the Arizona affiliate, which I believe they'll be hosting on July 10th, you get to register for their gift basket, which is valued, I believe, over $150 worth of nice Arizona items.
Ah.
Yeah. So if you come to Hawaii's hospitality day, they'll have a nice Hawaii basket for you that will be, donating as well. And matter of fact, we'll make sure that at the opening session, we'll announce the winner of these baskets.
Ah, so, excellent. So everybody'll know.
Yeah. So come through these hospitality rooms and get a chance to break bread with your fellow Federationists and get to meet them, and also register for a nice gift basket that, you know, I mean, I'm telling you, when you talk about $150 worth of sort of items, that sounds good to me.
Absolutely. I mean, you probably get all kinds of cool stuff. I mean, I can just imagine with the states involved, and probably learn something about the states and also socialize with your fellow Federationists, which is really the important thing. But if you don't come to the hospitality suite, you don't get to register to win the baskets, so you got to go. So, you know, all the people that I always tell people that they shouldn't do this anyway, but all the people that think they're going to stay in their room for the convention, no, you need to get out and go to the hospitality suite and meet people, and then you'll meet people that can show you around the rest of the convention if you're a first timer, and tell you what to do and when to do it, and you'll have a great time. So don't plan to be spending much time in that very nice hotel room have.
No, that's a waste of time. And I will say this real quick, Chris. We're also going to have, during the lunch hours in the hospitality room, we're going to have members of the board of directors who are going to be there to, you know, so you can meet and mingle with them and answer any questions you have about the Federation. So this allows them to be available to the membership as well.
Outstanding. Another opportunity to mingle with leadership. It's really great that you're planning all of those. And I understand I know you have Catherine Webster on the committee, and she's got a bunch of student stuff planned. Can you give us just a sample of what she's got in mind?
Yeah, Catherine, this is really and the reason why we have Catherine on our committee this year is that this is to commemorate the 50th anniversary of National Association of Blind Students. So there are tons of events that NABS has planned for this convention. I know during their business meeting, they're going to have some of the past presidents of the student divisions around the country. So, for example, I know that Dr. Maurer, I didn't realize this, is a former president of NABS. I believe that will be Indiana, if I'm not mistaken. I hope I'm right on that.
That is correct, sir.
Yeah, also people like Scott LaBar and will be involved in this particular business meeting. Also, she has what they call, I believe, a NABS Olympics. So this is where all these divisions are going to come together to compete in different blind skills challenges. So she has a plethora of just events. I'm telling you, you better make sure you check out nfb.org to see what she got going on, because NABS is really on the one in regards to just providing so many different events. Also, she's assisting us NABS is assisting us in the hospitality room as well, and a lot of the logistics around in and outside of the convention. So they're going to be pretty active during the week of the convention.
It's great to see the student division doing, you know, taking taking part in the, I mean, obviously they always do, but that really elevating the role of in the national convention this time out for their 50th anniversary. I mean, I think that's going to be really special.
Yeah, it's going to be real. I also, I know they got an ice cream social going on as well. I mean, they just have so many, a walkathon, and they just got so many things going on. So I will encourage many of you to participate in these student events, because I believe they're quite excellent.
All right, excellent. Well, thank you, Sean, for joining us to talk about the plans for the convention. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, we got a luau to go to. Mm-hmm. We've got gift baskets to win. We've got all kinds of things going on. And, and of course, I know you guys, I know you can't talk about this, but I know you're planning a spectacular opening ceremony type of thing.
Yeah, I'm going to keep that hush-hush for now.
Oh, of course you are. That's got to be a surprise,
yes,
you know.
Yes, sir.
So don't come late to the opening general session, folks. You need to be there on time so that you can see what's going to happen in the opening ceremony. Is there any final thought that you'd like to leave folks with?
Well, I'm just hoping that people come down to the National Convention. Just one thing I want to say real quick, Chris, just, it's all about just learning from one another and living the life you want. And so I just want people to come down, enjoy themselves, meet, network other blind folks from around the country. It is the best. Chris, I look forward to it every year. It's the best time of my life. And so just want to tell people to come down and learn and enjoy themselves.
Absolutely. You know, I always say getting ready for the convention, it's like Christmas Eve. You know, it's very exciting.
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. Well, thank you so much. Great to have you
on. Thank you,
Chris. Great to have you on. You are most welcome. Thank you. And great to have you on the Nation's Blind podcast. And we'll be back again after this break.
You're listening to the Nation's Blind podcast. Chris did a great job interviewing Sean. I can't wait to go to that luau. I need to see if, I wonder if Chris is going to be wearing a coconut bra and a
Whoa, I don't know. You know, he's a great musician. Maybe he's going to be, you know, strumming a, what's the, oh my goodness.
Ukulele.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's completely.
Through
I had ukulele on my tip of my tongue.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And I could not.
Come out as something else.
All I could think of was accordion. That is not Hawaiian.
That is
Midwestern. I guess I'm a little tired before convention myself.
And accordion. That's awesome. Coconut bra, grass
skirt,
accordion.
And accordion.
All right. Yeah, that picture's going to live for a while there. Oh, but I love that they're doing so much to plan. I'm definitely going to be going to the hospitality rooms. I got to get my name entered into those raffles. We'll see if I win or not. And the party, got to go to the party.
Got to go to the luau. It sounds like a lot of fun.
And I can't wait to see what this opening session is going to be.
Oh, I think the opening session is, it's one of the most fun parts of convention, particularly the last couple of years. There has just been so much energy and such, again, such talent. Last year, Precious Perez sang and there was a band that played and it was it was amazing, and I don't know what they're planning this year, but I am really looking forward to it. And of course, Oriana's coming with me, and I already told her, you're not going to go to childcare that morning. You're going to, at least for a little while, sit in the session and listen to all this and dance and sing. And
absolutely.
I just think it's going to be so much fun to have her there and to share that with her.
Do you remember the opening session of your first convention?
Gosh, it was 1999 in Atlanta.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. That one wasn't one of our best. I think that was either the one where we had the paper planes. I think that was it because it was in memory of Dr.
Jernigan. That's right.
Yeah,
yes,
people
yes,
said that he
did.
Used to fly paper planes from the dais.
Yes.
So we walked in and we threw paper planes throughout the audience.
Yeah, I think you had a marching band maybe.
I think that one we had the brass band. Yeah, I think so.
I do remember probably one of my favorite ones was the one year in Louisville. They had the guy who calls the races at Churchill Downs.
Oh yes,
call
that was
a
fun.
Pretend horse race between you know
Door
Uncle
Prize
Tom
Diane,
Door Prize Diane, and Dr. Maurer, and it was a really fun one. And the first year that we were in Florida, they had some Disney, like a Disney band with all sorts of medley of songs. And that was really fun. And that was one I said, oh, our kids would have loved this. Yeah. And why did I not think about that?
Because they had some people from the show. They had some people on stilts and stuff walking
through. They did.
Through. Yeah.
They did. And then the other one that I loved was there was a band from Florida, and they did Tom Petty, and they did, you know, all those songs.
They
and,
rocked
and
the whole hall.
President Riccobono and I actually got up, and I'm not a dancer, really, but we actually got up and danced. And the other day, a friend of mine said, oh, I have this picture of you and President Riccobono dancing.
Well, we have a video.
Let's go to the video. Oh, no.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
It was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
And it does set the tone, I mean, for the plenary sessions to really keep people energized and involved and engaged. And I really do enjoy the opening sessions.
Yeah. And I love the roll call of states, too. I love hearing scholarship winners and when the state conventions are going to be. And
man, you just love the convention.
I do. There's so no other shot in the arm like it.
Yeah, it helps and you get through the rest of the year.
It does. And it'll be really interesting just seeing it in a different way, sort of through now that my daughter is a little older and we can actually talk more about the convention and she can do the style show and just different things. It'll be really interesting sort of seeing it through her eyes and seeing how it is for her. I know it will be a good experience, but it is an exhausting week, so I'm a little bit worried.
But by
the end, she might kind of peter out, and that's okay. But I hope at least for the first few days, she really does truly get that shot.
I can't wait to hear from, you know, after that. I'd like to hear what you and Ori talk
I think
about
it would
how
be,
she sees convention.
I think it'd be kind of cool. Maybe we get her on the podcast if she's willing.
That would be cool.
And, you know, talk to her a little bit about it.
But it's just a whole week of really inspiration and working to fulfill the hopes and dreams of blind people across the country. And again, we wouldn't be able to do that without some significant leadership. I know that President Riccobono is just kind of sequestered himself, you know, in preparing all of the different components that are essential for the convention to run smoothly. But he did take a little bit of time with us to talk about what his hopes and dreams are for the convention and how important the convention is to the organization. And I had the privilege of talking to the president during the presidential privilege.
I always enjoy listening to the presidential privilege. Let's take a listen. You're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast.
All right. I'm here with President Mark Riccobono of the National Federation of the Blind. Thank you, sir, for joining us.
Thank you very much. My privilege.
Yeah, there you go. I live for that moment.
Pleasure,
you know.
Yeah.
We're talking about convention. You know, there's going to be a gathering of thousands of blind people in Orlando from July 10th through July 15th. You're probably familiar with this.
It's coming up. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Took me away from my writing here.
Yeah, well, we've already, you know, let the crowd know that you're sacrificing, you know, the time to be here with us amidst all of the planning that's going on for this powerful gathering of blind people. So we want to hear specifically from you. You're going into this, of course, with a desire to accomplish something. So what are your hopes and dreams for this 2017 gathering of the National Federation of the Blind?
Well, you know, when you look at the convention agenda, we have a number of new things happening, a number of new meetings, gatherings. And very significantly, I think we have a number of new people coming to the convention. So I know that for me, I'm quite interested in what's going to come out of bringing all these people together, some who have been around for a long time and some who have new, fresh ideas, who they don't know what to expect, but they're very hungry for a greater level of independence because they've been sheltered, they've been held back, and a lot of great things come out of that that are hard to anticipate.
Mm-hmm.
On Tuesday morning, the 11th, we have a gathering at 8 o'clock where all of the workers get together and we kick off the machinery of the convention. Of course, that's after we've already had a day of lots of meetings, but everybody fans out to their places and there's marshals everywhere and the registration opens and it's like a big machine revving up.
Yeah, yeah.
And you got blind people who, you know, they're going to have previously not thought that they could do much, and they're going to be thrown into this hotel, and they're going to have buddies helping them bounce around and use the escalators. And so you see this explosion of potential, and that's where the dreams start to grow. And so the cool thing is we don't know what will come out of all that. I mean, that's what it was like for me 21 years ago, certainly probably what it was like for you. So,
absolutely. I love the way you phrased it, explosion of potential, and that's where the dreams. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what's really cool. I have no idea what resolutions are going to be offered this year. See what's on blind people's minds. Yeah. The chairwoman tells me there's no controversial ones, so that's good.
There's never any controversial resolutions.
And we got a bunch of new exhibitors and sponsors this year. The exhibit hall's full.
Wow.
And we have some new technologies that are going to be talked about. And on my mind lately has been, what is the role of technology and what's our role in technology? So I'm going to be interested to see what Federation members say about those topics, because they're ones I've been thinking about, and I'll want to be informed by the ideas of people at the convention.
And we talked, Melissa and I talked a little bit about, you know, the work and effort that goes into planning it. A lot of people, they go and they participate and don't recognize how much work goes into it. So I love the way that you've kind of even turned the work into part of what makes the convention so meaningful to people. Because I agree, we challenge them to do things that maybe they may not have thought they were able to do.
Yeah, you know, our convention gets done with lots of volunteers. Now, of course, we have paid staff that do a lot of backbone pieces to the convention as well, but overwhelmingly hundreds of volunteers, anywhere from our members to our UPS volunteers that have been with us now for, I don't know, 20 years.
Yeah.
And we train them very specifically on how to make sure they continue to encourage independence. And just the informal training that happens. You know, our convention is the largest training program for blind people anywhere in the world, because people show up and well, okay, how do I use this cane? Someone's going to show them.
Yeah.
They're not getting paid for it. They haven't planned on it. I mean, I remember one of my favorite convention stories was in 2011. We had our blind driver challenge vehicle at the Rose and Shingle Creek, and it had been a long day. I was beat tired, and I came through the convention area and got to the escalator, and there was this guy just standing at the bottom of the escalator, and I was kind of annoyed because I wanted to go up the escalator. And so I started to talk to him. He said, well, you know, this is my first convention. Now, I've never been on an escalator. I'm kind of trying to figure this out.
Wow.
So we worked on the escalator, and that guy still may be riding the escalator up and down at the Shingle Creek. I mean, but, you know, I had I thought about it. I really didn't want to be doing that at the time.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, someone did that for me.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember the guy's name.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it was memorable to him. It's been memorable to me, like so many other convention experiences.
Yeah. That's a great example of the selfless dedication that the members have for one another.
Yeah,
and I think
absolutely.
That's what keeps us together and keeps us so strong.
Yeah.
So, I mean, aside from all of the wonderful stuff we've been talking about, convention, it is a place that we get business done.
Yeah.
So can you tell our listeners the importance of the convention?
Well, the convention is the supreme authority of our organization. It determines where we're going to go and what we're going to do over the next period of time. We have a number of speakers coming, for example, and, you know, the convention will want to express its concerns to those folks, whether they're members of Congress. We have two members of Congress coming.
Mm.
We have one department-level secretary, the Secretary of Labor.
Mm.
And, of course, we continue to press the Department of Labor to join with us in equal employment opportunities and especially eliminating wage discrimination against the blind.
Yeah.
We hope this secretary will. In the last administration, got some promises out of the Department of Labor. We hope to get more out of this administration.
Mm-hmm.
That's always the case. And the convention of course, elects the representative leaders of the organization, which is very important because we need a strong leadership team to help guide the organization. So the convention will do that. And one of the things that happens below the surface is that, you know, amongst the delegates, conversations will happen about what the next 10, 15 right. years are going to be like.
Right.
And who knows what that will bring. People will be talking about something that in 3 or 4 years might be a big thing, but it's going to start to bubble up at the convention.
Yeah. And that's definitely demonstrative of the fact that we are member-led. We get our members engaged and listen to their voices.
Yeah, it's really essential. I spend much of the week going around to meetings, but also spending time meeting with whoever comes by in the presidential suite if I can get time with them. And mm-hmm. you hear lots of stories, even in and amongst all the progress. I guess it's hard for me to find anything shocking these days, but...
Uh-oh, you put that in the atmosphere now. All right, get ready.
But you still do take a step back when you hear the real raw stories that people bring to the convention that they're living with every day. Yeah. And the trick is for us to get enough resources into the convention and the organization to help everybody.
Mm-hmm. And you want to be there. There's something unique about being in the space for all you Alexander Hamilton fans. You want to be in the room where it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to throw away your shot.
Yeah.
See, I'm throwing out all these because maybe someone will see fit to just throw me some Hamilton tickets. Yeah. But you're also planning one of the most inspirational pieces of the convention. You're in the midst of writing the banquet speech.
Yes.
You want to give us any heads up on? No, I know not.
Yeah.
But you've already set yourself on a path, though. This will be your third banquet speech.
Yes.
You've set the bar pretty high for yourself. I'm looking forward to hearing those words on banquet night, and I'm sure that you will inspire, as you always do, and guide, as you have. And for those of you who are going to be at the convention, I encourage you, don't miss this opportunity.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, the banquet speech, I guess, is one of the most intense periods of giving real thought to what's happening in our movement and what we want to happen. And that's where the convention is essential in that, because the ideas, you know, come from the members. I'm sure that the next banquet speech will have something to do with what people are talking about now at the convention.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the convention demands that leaders of the organization are thoughtful about representing the organization in a real way, and that's a challenge. So this year's banquet speech is an interesting one, I think. It's still evolving. Should be done today, though.
Okay.
And it has some interesting elements. I shared one of them with Melissa, and she said, "Now that you mention that, I hear it everywhere." Well,
wow.
So, you know, it's not that the idea was new to me. It's just, you know, it's one of those things that when someone brings it to your attention.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's really fun, that the convention is a give and take experience for everybody, not just the members, but the president, the delegates, the volunteers.
Yeah.
We all get something out of it, even in the midst of giving.
Yeah. And if by any reason, or any happenstance, you go to a convention and you don't get anything out of it, that's on you. There's so many opportunities there to really learn and grow and have fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we should, you know, tell our podcast listeners that you can tune in if you're not at the convention. It's not the same as being there, but it'll give you a flavor and hopefully inspire you to want to be in the room.
Yeah.
Because it is a different dynamic. And despite all the technology we have today, I think that being in the same space with people is really important.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates a different energy, and I think it gets missed by a lot of people that don't do it.
Yeah. Nothing more to say about that. That's powerful. Well, we're hoping that you will be there to experience this explosion of potential and participate in our fulfilling the dreams of blind people. Thank you, President Rick Obono, for joining us for the Presidential Privilege. You're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast.
That was a great privilege, as always. And, you know, I do want to mention that we're talking a lot about being at the convention and being mm-hmm. there, and there's nothing like being there, for mm-hmm. sure. But sometimes things happen, and you can't be there. I know in 2012, when our daughter Elizabeth was born, she was little enough that I just didn't feel like I could truly be there. And so the convention is being streamed online again, not the whole convention, but there are parts of it that are streamed. That great opening ceremony Anil and I were talking about, that's always streamed. The board meeting is streamed, all the general sessions, and the banquet. And so really, if you can't be a part of convention, if you've never maybe had the opportunity or you don't know what it's about, you've never even really heard of convention before, please go to nfb.org. There'll be a link. Check out the stream.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not the same as being there, but certainly just gives you a little bit of a taste of what the convention's like, and particularly the banquet. If you and maybe some of your friends can't be at the banquet, I know when Elizabeth was born, I had a little banquet party without being at the banquet.
And you played the stream at the banquet?
I did,
party?
Yeah. We
so
did.
You had
a
little
had,
virtual banquet.
We did. We had dinner, and we played
awesome.
The stream.
Did you have door prizes?
Oh, we had chocolate, but we didn't have door prizes. But
that's a great idea.
I clearly remember rocking. It was actually Elizabeth was in her little swing, and mm-hmm. she was listening to the speech downstairs. And then I remember going upstairs, and, you know, because the speech goes a little late. And so I remember rocking Oriana and listening to the speech while I was rocking her. And you know, again, it made me miss it in a lot of ways, but at least I knew what was going on, and at least I could then talk to people about mm-hmm. the different speeches, the resolutions, all of those kinds of things. So it is
cool
the next
idea.
Best thing. So, yeah. you know, and make sure you tune in.
And if you're savvy, I mean, there's going to be a lot of social media around it. So I'm sure our Facebook page will have some stuff. Our Twitter feed will be alive and active during the convention.
Definitely. And, you know, we at the Nation's Blind Podcast, we haven't quite made our plan yet, but I am sure we will be recording. I don't know if we'll be bringing things to you sort of unedited from the convention or if it's going to be more of little bonus episodes.
The Nation's
after.
Blind Podcast Unleashed.
But we will definitely be around, and, you know, we'll try to let people know sort of when and where we might be recording, so you can stop by, say hi, mm-hmm. give us feedback. We'd love to talk with you at the convention. So I'm looking forward to that, just bringing the convention to people in a new and exciting way here yeah. at the Nation's Blind Podcast.
Yeah, and we'd love to meet you face-to-face.
Oh, definitely, yeah. definitely.
So, I mean, again, I'm exhausted. this is only a smidgen, only a small percentage of what is to be expected at our national convention. We really do hope you can join us. Again, it's July 10th through the 15th in Orlando at the Rose and Shingle Creek Hotel.
And it's not too late. If you're on the fence, just even if you can come for a couple days, you know, come on down. Mm-hmm. Come on down. Check it out, particularly if you're in Florida or if you have a means to get there. Please just don't be shy.
Yeah.
Come on over. We'd love to show you what convention's really about. And again, you can talk about it all you want, but there's nothing like it until you're really there.
Yeah, and it's the most life-changing experience.
Oh, my gosh.
Especially for blind individuals. Even if you're not blind, it's still a tremendous life-changing experience. But for me as a blind person, it redefined me.
I don't even know what to say about that because that is so, it's so true.
Well, we'll just say what you said. Join us.
Join us.
By whatever
please,
means possible, join us.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, of course, here at the Nation's Blind Podcast, we would love your feedback about the podcast. Mm-hmm. Please email us, podcast@nfb.org.
Mm-hmm. You can call us at 410-659-9314. Our extension is 2444.
And please make sure that you like us on Facebook, facebook.com/National Federation of the Blind, I believe, is how you get there.
That's close enough. And you can tweet us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is @NFB_voice.
Oh, and hashtag. I think the convention hashtag is going to be NFB17. So if you want to follow the convention on Twitter, make sure you search, or Facebook, I guess. You can also do hashtags on Facebook. I always forget that. but you can search at NFB17.
There you go. And until then, we'll leave you with a little track from our Rhythm of the Movement CD that really defines what's going on, because it's convention time. Oh, yeah.
You've been listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast, and remember, you can live the life you want.
Blindness is not what holds you back.
We got new-timers and regulars too. Girls, bring your dresses, and guys, bring your suits. Ooh, ooh, it's convention time for you. First day of sessions, got the roll call of states. Presidential report, all the things we advocate. It's convention time for you.
Thank you for listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or feedback, send an email to podcast@nfb.org or leave us a voicemail at 410-659-9314, extension 2444. Also, don't forget to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at @NFB_voice. Check out the Nation's Blind channel on YouTube and visit us on the web at nfb.org. Until next time, remember, you can live the life you want. Blindness is not what holds you back.